Yes, here we are finally. We had a little problem here with Sing for Joy coming in instead of Law and Gospel, but that gave us an opportunity to hear some maybe good music. I'm Tom Baker, and this is August the 9th in the year of our Lord 2017 on Worldwide KFUO. And as Pastor Tom Baker, on Wednesdays, I like to have insights. Now, what we're going to do is ask you some questions. I'll give you a moment to get a pencil and paper. Okay, time is up. I'm going to say some words, and I want you to tell me if, in your mind, they're positive or negative. Ready? Flood. Promotion. New car. Nightmares. Okay, I'm only doing four of them. I'm quite sure that you put positive for a promotion and a new car, and probably did negatives on flood and nightmares. Well, we're going to be talking today about nightmares. How many of you look forward and enjoy nightmares? I asked that to Pastor Mark Smith yesterday. He actually gave the right answer, at least the one I have, is that the reason he enjoys them is when he wakes up, they're not true. That's how you can enjoy something that terrifies most people. It's because of what happens after the nightmare. For example, I think it was Sunday night I had this nightmare. I was teaching a group of seminarians. And when one of the students kept interrupting my train of thought, I became angry with him. And I reprimanded him. Well, his reaction was to pick up his books and walk out of the room. Then I'm looking at the rest of the students. They look at each other, they pick up their books, and they walk out of the room. You know, that's not very good reputation the teacher has, that the students walk out of the room. But then I woke up, and I was so happy it was a nightmare and not reality, and I went and told my wife Louise about how good I felt. I got this idea about nightmares from a sermon I did yesterday at the International Center on the basis of the reading they gave me to do, Jeremiah 23:16-29. Now, you know, I love Law and Gospel, and I had really a tough time finding any gospel in this because God is very angry with the prophets. And why is he angry with the prophets? Because they are saying that they dreamed a dream, and therefore they tell the people what they have dreamed rather than what God has told them. And so I got thinking about that, and I came to the conclusion that all lying, false teaching from false prophets is really a form of nightmare. How so? What were the false prophets saying to the people that God was so angry about? Well, one of the things they were saying is, guess what, folks? It shall be well with you. That's what they were telling them. Even though God was prophesying that the Babylonians would come and destroy Jerusalem, tear down the temple. And these false prophets were saying, no disaster shall come upon you. It kind of, if you watch The Simpsons, and this is Pastor Mark Smith telling me this, I don't watch The Simpsons, but I guess they go to church occasionally, and there's a Reverend Lovejoy, who's a character in The Simpsons. And his favorite saying is, it's all pretty good. Things are going well. You can imagine when God threatens people with a disaster because of their false teaching and their idolatry, that you have a prophet who goes around and says, oh, it shall be well with you. No disaster shall come upon you. You see, there's two kinds of what I consider to be nightmares. I first of all define a nightmare as a dream that is not true. It doesn't mean that you're always frightened by nightmares. For example, I may dream that I won the lottery. That really makes me feel good, at least while I'm asleep. Then when I wake up, I recognize, no, I didn't win the lottery. So that's a kind of a nightmare also. Nightmares are not necessarily scary. And that's important to understand, that I'm coming to the conclusion, because we're always trying to help you folks understand what false doctrine is, because it's really satanic nightmares. Sometimes people are afraid of false doctrine. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the false doctrine that says, and there's somebody who teaches this, that the reason you're not getting more blessings is you are not obedient enough. And so people are worrying about, oh boy, am I obedient enough now? Because I'm not getting very many blessings. And they try to be more and more obedient. But oftentimes they have to understand the truth from God's word. Remember, every sermon, every radio broadcast, every Bible study has one purpose, and that's to get you to think like God. So how does God think? There was a man who just about had everything. He had riches. He had a great reputation. He had good standing in the community. Then he became a Christian, and he lost that reputation. He lost that good standing. He lost that wealth. In fact, he went to prison. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Saul, who we also know as Paul. When he was a Pharisee, he was well regarded by the other Pharisees. He was doing his work well, seeking out Christians, often responsible for their death. And yet, when he became a Christian, wow, he lost his standing in that community. He ended up not being wealthy anymore. He ended up being in prison. And of course, he also was martyred. So when you hear this false teaching that the more you become obedient, the more blessings God is going to give you, and then all of a sudden you look around and you're not appearing to have all those blessings, that becomes a nightmare. It becomes a nightmare because the false teaching is wrong. Even therefore, when you hear something good, like the Pharisees, why did they not need Jesus? Because they didn't believe they were sinners to the level that God considered them to be sinners. Simply read the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder, Jesus says. But I say unto you, if you even have a bad thought or a bad word against someone, you have broken that commandment and deserve eternal condemnation. There's no distinction in the spiritual realm in regard to the level of sins. All sins are equal. All demand eternal condemnation. Now, that's not true in the political realm, in the temporal realm. I mean, you're not going to get as big a punishment if you're going over the speed limit by 10 miles an hour in contrast to 60 miles an hour. You get different degrees of penalty, but not in the spiritual realm. Well, these Pharisees, they were really angry at Jesus because he was sitting and eating with tax collectors, prostitutes, and other sinners. See, they had been under the nightmarish teaching that as long as they obeyed the ceremonial laws, everything was okay. Well, guess what? Everything was not okay. Not from God's point of view. So in a sense, I consider all false teachers and all false teaching, therefore, to be nightmarish. Because sometimes you have a nightmare that you're afraid of, and sometimes you have a nightmare that you feel real good about. When do you wake up from nightmares? Well, when do the Pharisees? When are they going to wake up from it? It's called the Day of Judgment. And on that Day of Judgment, they will find that following those false teachings has led them to deny the true God, to have no faith in him, but rather have faith in a God that they have invented. God's really angry with these people in Jeremiah 23. He says, I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? Who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. There are a number of denominations, including some Lutheran, that believe that homosexual behavior is okay, that gay marriage is okay, that abortion is okay. They don't discipline their people. In fact, some of the pastors end up in a gay marriage. Where do they get this from? They get this from their heart, and not the heart God created in them, but their sinful heart. They even admit it. For example, a number of these churches will say, yes, God's commandments are really important for the people in the Old Testament, but we now are under the Holy Spirit, and therefore we can decide what is really God's will for us today. And it may not be according to the will of God as you found in the Old Testament Ten Commandments. Now, some of the evidence they give to try and back that up, there's no doubt that we Christians today no longer follow the ceremonial laws or the civil laws of the Old Testament. For example, we don't sacrifice animals at the altar anymore. We don't stone a woman caught in adultery. But there's another segment of laws, is called morality, where these laws are not just meant for the people of Israel, but for the whole world. And therefore, some of those I've already mentioned are clearly part of that. But what these churches teach, and this was even a problem at the time of the Reformation. I spoke about this a little bit on Friday, where people said, we no longer have to follow the demands of the law as found in the Old Testament, even in regard to the moral law, but we can follow what the Holy Spirit is telling us in our heart. If this isn't exactly what God is against in Jeremiah 23, how long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? That's why I say that the teachings of false prophets are a form of nightmare. While you're asleep, you think they're true. And then when you wake up, you find out they're not true. If it's a negative nightmare, that's fine. You're happy. But if it's a positive nightmare, like winning the lottery or something like that, then you're sad. When people follow false teaching, when do they finally wake up? Well, there's two ways it can happen. Remember, there were two Pharisees. They were even members of the Supreme Court, so to speak. It's called the Sanhedrin in Jewish courtroom talk. And they were the ones that convicted Jesus and said he had to die. Well, we're not sure these two were at that meeting because it was held at a time that was unusual in the morning. But I'm talking about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. These were two who were following the nightmares of the Pharisees, and they came and heard Jesus, and they were converted. But what were they converted by? They were converted by hearing the word of God. That's Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And there are so many people today who are saying, no, we can generate faith apart from the word of God. I mean, how many times have you heard, if you will only confess Jesus as Lord and believe he rose from the dead, you will be saved? And then they try and get people to invite Christ into their heart. Why would you invite someone you don't believe into your heart? That makes no sense at all. Well, if you're inviting them into your heart, and I've said this 1,000 times, that means you already believe. And therefore, there's no need to invite him into the heart because he's already there. I find again and again, situations, even in Lutheran congregations, where there are individuals who are under the delusion of nightmares, of false teaching. In fact, you can find that out sometimes just by, and I've done this, hand out a piece of paper at a seminar, and I say, write down the reasons why you believe if you die tonight, you will be saved. And it's really interesting to see this, and this is from a Lutheran group. Some will say, well, I go to church, or I'm an officer in the church, or I give offerings, or I raise my children according to God's word, or I have faith. I mean, none of those things are untrue, but none of them are the reason why you're going to heaven. Anytime you use the word I, you're always going to be wrong. If the verb is an active verb, that means I do this, I do that, etc., etc. That's boasting. The fact of the matter is, and this is only in Christianity, the verb, if you use the word I, needs to be in the passive. For example, I am baptized. That means that's something that happened to me by God. Or, I was given faith from the Holy Spirit. He moved in my heart and created a new heart within me in a right spirit, Psalm 51. In other words, the proper reason for saying someone is saved is not because of anything they have done, but because of everything that Jesus Christ has done for them. I mean, there are many church members who experience occasions, and they'll confess this to the pastor, I don't feel close to God anymore. And maybe it's because of a sin they did or a suffering they are enduring. That also is a form of false doctrine nightmares. How do you overcome that fear, that nightmare? They think it's real. You overcome them with the gospel. That is the promises that God makes, and there's hundreds of them. And that's why a pastor needs to know which promises to give to which people. Somebody would say, boy, I just don't feel close to God or God close to me. Promises like God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Remind them of their baptism. You see, the nightmare prophets in Jeremiah's day kept telling those who despise the word of the Lord that it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly followed his own heart, no disaster shall come upon you. You can hear this kind of theology again and again. And that seemed to be true for the Israelites until the Babylonians' arrival. So yesterday in the sermon, we were talking about the fact that there were some young people there. They're part of what we call the Lutheran Young Adults Corps. They provide long-term service opportunities in communities of need for young adults between the ages of 18 to 26. I encourage them that not only as they do their works of mercy, but they also use words in dispelling the nightmares of false doctrine. Because the nightmares of false doctrine can really lead to serious problems in a person's life. How did I say to these young people and the rest of the folks in chapel, how do we overcome the nightmares of the false prophets, which means false teaching? Well, Jeremiah, in that chapter 23, summarized it well with verse 28. And let me read that to you. Let the prophet who has a dream tell a dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat? You see, the straw is the false teaching. The wheat is the good teaching that we can digest. We even have a prayer talking about digesting the word of God. So in its outreach, and in your outreach to perhaps your children, your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, your employees, your employer, there's two things that we want you to remember. First, every thought of the old Adam is a nightmare from God's point of view. Because the old Adam, that's our sinful self, never can get God right. The old Adam uses imagination and dreams, and therefore has a God that simply doesn't exist. We call them idols. But what's the second point that you need to be aware of? The way to overcome the false doctrine nightmares is to use the word of God faithfully. That's the only thing that can overcome it. Nothing else can. Your reason can't. Nothing else can. Because the word of God has a power that reason never has. And what is that power? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need to do is remain steadfast in speaking both the law and the gospel, which we find in God's word. And when we do that, we leave it up to the Holy Spirit to make sure that there's a promise that he will fulfill, and that is that the word does not return empty. That's why we put all our faith in none other than Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died so that we will never really die, and who lives so we live eternally. The next Law and Gospel is a Rumination Thursday with our good friend, Pastor Wes Reimnitz. And in conversation with him, he had a pretty good idea that on our next broadcast, we should be talking about the increase in suicides of young people. Why is that happening? It's going to be the subject of our conversation.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.